I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jason Lockenfora, who will be with us in studio tomorrow night for Tops. Of course, Jason, CBS Sports NFL insider. Jay, what's happening, buddy? How are you today?
What's going on, buddy? We've got a three-hour Top show tomorrow night, which is always fun. Mm-hmm. And then I will be at our CBS HQ studios in Stamford, Connecticut for the rest of the draft. So you can also follow the draft on CBS HQ on your streaming device, mobile device, or your laptop, or your, what's the word I'm looking for?
Anywhere
tablet.
You stream.
Tablet.
iPad.
I love it. There
exactly.
You go.
Tablet.
Yeah, it was smooth.
Everybody says iPad. Jace, this draft is all about the defensive players, I think,
yes. In
large part, but it's always about the quarterbacks. Kyler Murray, we think, is going number one. Dwayne Haskins, will fall in there somewhere in the top 10. Maybe if not, he'll fall down to Washington at 15. And Drew Locke and Daniel Jones are all the ones that are there. But which one of those, and I think it's Kyler Murray, could play right away? Because I think some teams like to make that decision these days instead of letting them learn and grow and develop and fix some of the mistakes and flaws that they have from college. Which one of these guys is going to play right away?
Well, I mean, it's got to be Kyler Murray, right? I mean, if you got the coach to run a system and then you take the first pick to get the quarterback who you think fits the system better than most people on the planet, then I don't know how the heck you're not playing him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's – And you're kicking last year's 10th overall pick to the curb to do so. Like, yeah, he better be ready to play week one. Like, that would kind of sort of be the whole idea.
Yeah, that's the point. Are we buying that they might keep both?
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I mean, for some period of time, I guess. But, like, I cannot see them both on that roster week one. You know, I have a hard time buying that. No, I don't see that happening.
I don't think they're going to be on the same roster 1 minute after the draft occurs when that first pick happens. So, I mean, maybe I'm wrong with that, but I know the Giants were kicking the tires. The Pats were kicking the tires. There were a couple of offers. You know,
Friday, you know?
Friday.
I don't think they're getting a one for him anyway at this point. I really never have, and especially at this point. So I could see them taking the best deal they can get to get a, you know what I mean, to get a pick on Friday evening for him, and then, you know,
any sense of who's in the lead right now, do you think?
I'm intrigued. The two teams I'm most intrigued by are the Chargers and the Bengals.
Chargers, huh? Interesting.
The Chargers have done a lot of work on quarterbacks the last few years, day two quarterbacks. And, I mean, the kid played right under their noses there in college. You know, I think he's a little older. Maybe some people would say too mature for his own good, but certainly more mature than some of the kids who you would be spending a pick on, especially day two this year. You know, you're talking usually about guys who are a little bit more raw and more developmental. You know, I think having him around Phillip Rivers would make some sense. A second-round pick, I don't know. It would make some sense to me. And in Cincinnati, they're clearly renting Andy Dalton at this point, right? And you got Zach Taylor, a quarterback guru, who came from McVay. What did McVay do? He rebuilt Jared Goff, right, and turned him around. I mean, Jared Goff, after year one, not that different from Rosen when you talk about where he was confidence-wise. You know, he looked like a shattered kid at the end of that rookie season. You know, I think Cincinnati, Mike Brown, he knows a bargain when he sees one. You could get Josh Rosen. When you take the signing bonus and all the upfront money out of it, Josh Rosen will be cheaper than his second round. Then you know what I mean. Whoever uses that second round pick on.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, man. That one just makes a lot of sense to me.
And you didn't mention the Giants. Giants not in this.
Well, I think the Giants are. I think the Giants are taking a quarterback.
You think they're taking Haskins at 6 or at 17?
I don't think Haskins is going to necessarily be there at 6. If you made me pick right now, I'd have them taking Jones at 17.
Huh. That's what Teague's been saying for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. Haskins not being there means that the Raiders take him.
Or Washington moves to 3 to get him.
Ah.
Hey, Jets, we're open for business, especially when it's the Redskins. We could fleece them. Talking to Jason Lock and Fora. Jay, one of the big rumblings before the draft is, listen, you know, Dee Ford is gone. The Chiefs had to find a replacement. They got a good one in Frank Clark, who's in the middle of his prime defensive end. Let me just give the details of the trade for those who missed it, and then I want to get your thoughts as to who you think actually won in terms of what was exchanged. So Kansas City gets defensive end Frank Clark and Seattle's 2019 third-round pick. Seattle gets the Chiefs' first rounder, which was, I think, was it 28 or 29? 29. The Chiefs' 2019 third round pick and their 2020 second round pick. So a lot of equity being swapped. Who won the trade?
I don't know who won it. I'm still a little bit sort of puzzled as to exactly what the Chiefs, you know what I mean? They're kind of doing things in a roundabout way, and I'm not necessarily sure I'm following everything that they're doing. Frank Clark is an upgrade over Dee Ford for sure, but it's kind of a circuitous path, and they gave up an awful lot and spent an awful lot to get there. For what they gave, I mean, if they're in win-now mode, I don't know why you don't just squat on Dee Ford for another year. You know what I mean? Pay him that money for 1 year. Look, Frank Clark is definitely a better player.
Yeah.
But
well, maybe that's why. Maybe that's the answer.
I guess, but, I mean, they walked from Justin Houston, who I get is at the end, but I don't know if Frank Clark and whatever they come out of this draft with is going to be better than Dee Ford and Justin Houston.
Yeah, not for,
I mean,
not
and
for
I don't, look,
and
that's nobody could answer that question.
Yeah, not for one and two.
But when I just start looking at how bad that defense was last year, and like the starting 11 they'd have to run out there right now, and I get it. It's 6 months, 5 months before they play a game that matters. So a lot could change. But I think Pat Mahomes is going to have to throw 50 touchdowns again. That may be literally where the bar is.
And by the way, pardon me, Teak, he might have to do it certainly without Kareem Hunt, who's gone. He might have to do it as well without Tyreek Hill, who might not, you know, so you might want to upgrade the offense in whatever draft equity remains for the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, because they lost a couple of pretty good pieces.
Well, and they're a team that has, they used to say, oh, it was John Dorsey with the character risks and all that. I mean, Frank Clark had domestic violence charges and domestic violence arrest in college. You know what I mean? They had Jovan Belcher, you know what I mean, in that horrible situation. They get rid of Kareem Hunt in the middle of a season. The Tyreek Hill thing is still very much being sorted out. And then they make this, like, in real time, make this blockbuster trade for another guy. Who has some ugly stuff in his background. I mean, they clearly are willing to look beyond a lot there in Kansas City.
Yeah, no, it seems that way. Jason, there's a lot of defensive players in this draft, defensive rush players in this draft. Nick Bosa, I think, is consensus the best one, even though, I mean, he didn't play a lot, obviously, last year, and really just one season, even though that one season was phenomenal, just like his brother. Who do you think is the second pass rushing guy, end or edge rusher off the board?
I think Josh Allen, you know, will be gone pretty high, depending on whether a trade is made up there, you know, and if quarterbacks start going in more rapid succession than most would have expected a few months ago, then that obviously pushes a few people down a slot or two. But I don't think it'll be a very long wait for him to have his name called at all. And who knows? You know what I mean? Who knows how this thing plays out? You know, Bosa's brothers had a lot of bad luck with injuries, and you know, we'll see. Obviously, availability is the first step to productivity. But yeah, I'm with you guys. I think sometimes the consensus is just reality, which is Bosa, you know, seems set to go second overall. And I think Allen's coming off somewhere in the next 3-4 picks.
Yeah, we made a big deal a couple days ago, maybe it was a week ago, about John Gruden, you know, getting rid of all of his scouts. He wants himself and Mike Mayock to keep their focus. We shouldn't make too much of that because we've heard that that's typical. It happens. The scouts just kind of leave before the draft goes. But are we concerned with some of the direction of this Oakland Raiders draft, I guess, lead-up?
I'm not. I mean, we're going to have to see how it plays out, and these things are always judged 3 to 5 years after the fact. But, I mean, they're in transition. They're still – the bulk of that staff was brought in by Reggie McKenzie, who's been gone for quite some time now. But as you guys know, in the football calendar, if like Mike Mayock comes in January, you know, you're not just going to gut everything in February. Guys are still in a contract. Most of these contracts expire in the spring, so you can't put a whole new staff together. You've got to rely on the scouting reports and the eyes that were already in these stadiums, you know, scouting all these college games through the season. And then the big turnover comes. The coaching ranks is January, but the management ranks, the football operation ranks, that all happens in May after the draft. So this was always going to be sort of a kind of an awkward half-step situation for them. And that, plus the fact that Mayock and Gruden are both crazy paranoid to begin with, and the fact that it's Easter Passover weekend and all that, like, I'm not surprised by it. And I don't – it's more overt than what happens in other buildings, but there's a lot of buildings where there's only 3, 4, 5 sets of eyes who are really looking at the big board anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not everybody has access to that room. Everybody does their work. They you know, they give their rankings. They come and do their spiel at their position groups or, you know, the schools that they looked at. And then that information gets put into a blender and, you know, somebody else is making that smoothie, not them.
Mm-hmm. Jay, give us about 30 seconds on this final thing. Jason Lockenfor, CBS Sports NFL Insider. There's a couple teams that jump out to me, one of whom is mine. That, you know, I think McCagnan's got to have a really good draft, otherwise he could be in real trouble. Which GM faces the most pressure entering the draft, and why?
Which GM with the most pressure entering the draft?
Gettleman's been, you know,
yeah,
been throwing some
heat.
Yeah, I mean,
I think Gettleman has probably put himself in a situation now where, and especially as he continues to kind of thump his chest through all this, like, the proof really is going to have to be in that pudding. I mean, you trade away generational talent like they did, and you keep putting your eggs in Eli's basket. I'll go back to another food analogy. You're baking a cake that better taste pretty good. You know, it better not be burnt by week six. Or I think that ownership's going to have to make changes there in much more rapid succession than the storied New York football Giants tend to like their make their moves.
Jay, great stuff, buddy. I'll see you tomorrow night. Looking forward to doing Tops with you, buddy.
Likewise, man. Talk to you guys soon. Thank you.
Be good, Jason.
Okay, Jason Lockenfor.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.